My name is Victoria Ketty, and you are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned into All Together Now. WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Karen Locker of Kingston, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Bethany Bump reports for the Times Union that there are now 11 reported cases of COVID-19 coronavirus in New York State, mostly in Westchester County and New York City. Quote, I think you do everything you can to limit the spread, but I think it's only a matter of time before you're trying to limit the increase, unquote, Governor Andrew Cuomo said about whether the illness will make its way to Albany. Columbia County Public Health Commissioner Jack Mabb, in an interview with WGXC, said there have not been anyone isolated or tested in Columbia County yet, though there is one man who recently returned from northern Italy with a respiratory illness. About 1,000 people in Westchester County have been voluntarily isolated as a precaution. Albany County Health Commissioner Elizabeth Whalen said she is awaiting test results of one person who recently traveled to Italy but is not showing any symptoms. Rensselaer County has 5 people currently isolated and 3 people tested waiting for results. Albany, Montgomery, Rensselaer, Saratoga, and Schenectady counties say they have identified locations to isolate many patients if necessary, but have declined to disclose where exactly, citing privacy reasons. Mabb said that Columbia County has yet to find a suitable location. And Bump reports that local churches, temples, synagogues, and mosques are now asking congregants to avoid handshakes, hugs, and other touching at services. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Scenic Hudson and Dutchess Land Conservancy have announced landowners Frank and Catherine Martucci have donated a conservation easement on their 171-acre East Heartland Farm in Ancrum. The donation will, and I quote, safeguard the productive and scenic land from any further development, end quote, according to a March 4th press release. Dutchess Land Conservancy will hold and maintain the easement. Currently, the land is leased to a local grain farmer who grows hay, corn, and soybeans. East Heartland Farm
was a priority of Scenic Hudson's Food Shed Conservation Program. The farm is centrally located within more than 3,300 acres in Dutchess and Columbia counties that Scenic Hudson, the Dutchess Land Conservancy, and Columbia Land Conservancy are working to protect. It is nearby to approximately 2,000 acres of protected lands in Ancrum that include other farmland, the Drowned Land Swamp Conservation Area, Taconic State Park, and the Harlem Valley Rail Trail. In addition to its agricultural importance, the land is also an irreplaceable wildlife habitat. The Martucci's have also donated land jointly owned with neighbor Dan Slott to establish Ancrum Rural Build, a program intended to provide affordable housing for families whose occupations support the county's agricultural economy. Habitat for Humanity has constructed two homes on the land. You can read the full press release at scenichudson.org.
Abby Hoover reports for Columbia Green Media that a February 26th Department of Public Works meeting, Superintendent Rob Perry said Hudson water and sewer bills are going up $5 on their next bill if the Common Council approves. Quote, the sewer rate is going from $48 to $49, and water is going from $57 to $61 per quarter per unit, unquote, said Perry. He said the increase will go to upgrade old infrastructure and obsolete aging technology and for grant matches. Quote, we have several capital improvement projects that require the city to contribute a local share, unquote, Perry said. Quote, notably, the city share for the Washington Street project is $219,000, unquote. There will be 800 feet of 12-inch pipes replaced in that project. Perry said there have been just four water main breaks in Hudson so far this year. Quote, these costs exist regardless of individual consumption, unquote, Perry said of the higher rates. Quote, every drop of water uses a 110-year-old transmission main and enters a reservoir made by a 110-year-old dam, unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Bethany Bump is reporting for the Times Union. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo announced in an early morning press conference Wednesday, March 4th, that six people in New York State have now tested positive for the new coronavirus. The six cases include a Westchester County man whose case was announced Tuesday, plus his three family members and a neighbor. The state's first case was confirmed Sunday in a New York City woman who had returned from Iran. The governor said, and I quote, there is no need for undue anxiety. There are going to be dozens and dozens and dozens of people infected, end quote. Yeshiva University confirmed Wednesday the 20-year-old child of the Westchester County man tested positive for COVID-19, and the university has now decided to cancel classes for an undetermined period of time. At least one other student has been quarantined despite showing no symptoms. In his remarks Wednesday morning, Cuomo cautioned against panic and repeated statistics that 80% of the coronavirus patients get better on their own. In a related story, Emily Munson is reporting for the Times Union. Congress expects to approve billions in funding to combat the virus by the end of the week, but the deal was slowed by a partisan disagreement over controlling the cost of vaccine and treatments. Senate Democrat leader Charles E. Schumer said on March 3rd, and I quote, we believe that the vaccine should be very cost-effective and not be out of the reach of average folks, end quote. Some Democrats are insisting all insurers, including Medicare and Medicaid, cover the cost of COVID-19 testing, treatments, or a vaccine. The vaccine is in development, but it will not be available to the public for at least a year. Congress plans to direct approximately $8 billion toward coronavirus response. Read both stories in the Times Union.
Jackson Wang reports on Twitter for Spectrum News that the Rensselaer City Schools Superintendent Joseph Kardesh said that there was, quote, another dust event, unquote, March 4th from the neighboring Dunn landfill. The Rensselaer County School limited playground and recess after the dust-up. Wang reports that the Department of Environmental Conservation says that the increased dust is a permit violation and that the state agency will take some sort of enforcement action. Recently, activists have been calling for the closure of the Dunn landfill next to the Rensselaer City Schools.
Rick Moriarty is reporting for Central New York News. The New York Public Service Commission is not equipped to properly monitor Spectrum and other utilities statewide, according to an audit released March 3rd by the state comptroller, Thomas DiNapoli. Auditors found regulators do not have the needed equipment to measure internet speeds, used inaccurate data to track service reliability, and imposed only 4 penalties in 4 years. DiNapoli said, and I quote, "When New Yorkers flip on the lights, log in, or make a call, they should be confident that someone is making sure these service providers are living up to their promises. My auditors found the State Public Service Commission was not doing enough to make sure utilities are holding up their end of the deal. PSC lacked critical equipment to do its job and rarely inflicted financial consequences when companies did not deliver. This has to change," end quote. The commission issued a statement strongly disputing the findings. It said, and I quote, "The Department of Public Service uses all enforcement tools at its disposal to hold utilities accountable, and major enforcement actions have resulted in more than $675 million in benefits for New York consumers in just the last 2 years," end quote. DiNapoli said his office initiated the audit after Hudson Valley lawmakers raised concerns about poor internet service and advised him to look at Charter Communications, Spectrum's parent. DiNapoli recommended that the Public Service Commission actively monitor all conditions listed in orders to ensure all utilities are complying, develop and issue orders that include well-defined, measurable, and enforceable conditions, and verify the accuracy of utility company data used by the commission or department to evaluate or make decisions concerning the utilities. And you can read the full story at Syracuse.com.
Chad Arnold reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that a few days ago, the natural gas company Williams LP gave up its plans to build the 124-mile-long Constitution Pipeline from Pennsylvania to just outside of Albany. So on March 3rd, President Donald Trump said, quote, "We're unable to build a pipeline through New York State where they'd love the jobs of doing the pipeline. And because of that, New England has very, very high energy prices," unquote. Trump made the remark speaking to the National Association of Counties in Washington, quote, "And we're fighting them very hard, and I think we'll be successful," unquote, he said, quote, "But if they'd allow a pipeline to go through, we would cut the prices of energy down by half and even more so than that. It's a terrible thing. It's very unfair to the rest of the country," unquote. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
Morgan McKay is reporting for the State of Politics blog. A bill that would create a 3-digit suicide hotline number in New York has been introduced in both the state Senate and Assembly. Senator Dave Carlucci, one of the bill's sponsors, believes the change to 3 digits, making it similar to 911, would help change the public's perception of suicide and treat it as an emergency. The suicide hotline number is currently 1-800-273-TALK, but the pending measure would change it to 988. Carlucci said, and I quote, "In New York State, suicide is the second leading cause of death among teenagers and young adults. 988 is easier to remember, allows individuals to access to help more quickly, and eliminates stigma," end quote. Even though New York has one of the lowest suicide rates in the country, the number of suicides statewide has increased every year since 1999. The bill is supported by the Mental Health Association in New York State, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, New York State, and other mental health organizations. And you can read the story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 48 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low of around 28. And on Friday, chance of rain and snow showers before 10 a.m., then rain likely between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. It will be cloudy with a high near 42 degrees. Friday night, rain and snow showers likely before 10 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 23. And that's your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Thursday, March 5th, the Hudson Area Library and the City of Hudson Senior Center are offering an 8-week session of creative writing with artist, educator, and social activist Maureen McNeil. Thursdays, 2:30 to 4 p.m., from March 5th until April 30th. The class focuses on discovering the power of the inner self through the practice of daily writing. Registration is limited and is on a first-come, first-served basis. To register, email programs at hudsonarealibrary.org. On Friday, March 6th, over 200 wines, craft beer, and cider presented by Provisions of Northampton, along with tapas-style offerings by dozens of talented local chefs at a Western New England wine and food tasting event, the 35th Annual Wine and Food Lovers Weekend, presented by New England Public Media, the new alliance of WGBY and NEPR. More information at wgby.org/wine. At Dewey Hall in Sheffield, Massachusetts, it's the Doc Watson Tribute Concert with Chris Brashear, Jim Henry, and Paul Kachansky. For more information, email DeweySessionsMusic@gmail.com.
This is Zena.
And this is Jahera.
And you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Accra.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable. All the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Lee Jameson of Stuyvesant, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hello and welcome to the better weather. This morning, temperatures start out around 35 and will make it to 48 by 1 p.m. With a light breeze, it will be a nice day. Overnight temperatures dip below freezing, reaching 29 at 4 a.m. It will start warming up just before dawn due to a warm front entering the area, generating at first a little snow, then light rain during the day as temperatures climb to 42 by noon. Temperatures drop off after dark and precipitation will turn to snow, and then disappear before dawn on Saturday. Sunday is looking really nice to get outside, maybe start some early spring cleaning. Careful with those bird feeders. Time to bring them in if you are in an area with bear activity. Sunset today will be at 5:30 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:23 a.m. As of 5 a.m. today, the COVID-19 numbers are nationwide 159 total cases, 11 deaths, 8 recoveries. New York maintains 11 total infections. By comparison, and to quash some rumors out there, the flu is still worldwide, or just in the United States, way more deadly than the coronavirus. Wash your hands, take your time, scrub under your nails. Looking way up, we see all five remaining instruments on NASA's Voyager 2 spacecraft are back to gathering science data after power overuse in late January interrupted the probe's operations. A novel protein has been detected in a meteorite that landed in Algeria in 1990. Analyzed by the Plex Corp in Fall River, Massachusetts, spectrometry shows a deuterium-enriched protein, now called hemolithin. And it contains some major clues to, well, the origin of everything. All right, solar wind speed is currently 351 kilometers per second at 8.4 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. There have been 31 days since the last sunspot, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, who really like being on the radio. And if you, for some crazy reason, happen to like the Better Weather or the Thingularity radio program, airing tonight at 7 p.m., then please consider helping us keep things going. We need your help to keep the quirky and fun experiment that is WGXC alive. All you have to do is call 518-697-7400 or go online to WGXC.org and click on donate. It's just that easy.
If only it was so simple.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena. I am a student of MC Smith, and I am also from Hudson.
Hi, I'm AJ. I go to school at Libri, which is a couple minutes away from Hudson. And now I live in Elizaville, but I used to live in Manhattan, which viewers or listeners, I always get those confused, might have remembered from the previous times.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All that good
stuff. And finally, I actually brought a book with me because I know that you guys can't see it, but I finally remembered to bring one because it helped me remember.
Sometimes we have the books with us and sometimes we just remember to talk about them. But what we don't want to forget to talk about today before we talk about books is the
Pledge Drive.
The Pledge Drive.
It's the Yay. WGXE Tower of Babel Winter 2020 Pledge Drive.
Woo. Well, basically our goal is to add 30 more sustaining monthly supporters.
Do you know what a monthly sustaining supporter is?
No. Yes.
Person who sustainably supports monthly.
Well, yes, but basically a sustaining supporter, you would donate a certain amount each month, $1, $10, maybe $100. I don't know, that would be pretty cool.
$1,000.
Wow. Going once, going twice,
but basically, $1,000 sold. Our monthly sustaining supporter would be. You can become one by calling our pledge drive number, 518-697-7400, or you could go online at wgxc.org/donate.
We hope listeners out there will call in or go online and pledge your support. We can also accept one-time donations. You don't have to become a monthly sustaining supporter, but we do know that those are very helpful because we can rely on that funding month to month and help us pay all the bills that help keep WGXC on the air.
And so that you can keep hearing us talking about books or any other programs you like, talking about whatever they talk about.
Yeah, and maybe a program that we want to bring back to life where we talk about gaming.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. My friend used to be on that.
Game
but
holders.
Yeah. Basically, so it helps us pay for everything that we need to keep broadcasting. That's what it helps with.
If you're a monthly supporter, you know that you don't have to just give the same amount of money each month. You can change it.
You could give less or give more depending on your situation. You could always change the amount you give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True, true.
And so that's pretty much it.
I was like telling the example of one of my Bound by Books co-hosts back in the day who did not have a job because she was too young to have a job, so didn't really have a big source of income, just emptied out her pockets of all of her change that she had, and she donated like $5 to the station. And that was very nice. So she gave what she could give.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, at least
every
she
amount
knew that she
does.
Had
we don't want you to break the bank.
Oh, of course not.
At least she knew that she had at least $5 in change. And yeah. She keep on collecting change.
I think that's more change than I have. I usually just throw it in the bag and walk out because I'm scared of dropping it when they give me the change.
But yeah, so give a call 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org.
Yay!
To make your donation, and you can check out the website while you're there.
Yeah,
it's pretty
great.
We
have all our old episodes archived on there, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Wait, really?
So if you missed a show or you just want to, this is the first time you're hearing us and you want to hear a non-pledge drive show where we just talk about books, although sometimes we talk about other things too, but mostly books. But you can listen to all these past shows.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
So speaking of talking about books, I think you guys have books to talk about. I have poetry to talk about because I'm still going slow at reading.
Would like to start
one
us
of
off.
Those years.
I guess me Lena because
has been
AJ was like
you've been nominated.
Yay! You have been nominated. Okay, so
you've been chosen. You've been sacrificed.
Yeah, I have been sacrificed.
But she always
so
shares first. So
my book that I'm going to be talking about is New Kid by Jerry Craft.
Yay!
I think you've talked about this before.
I love that book.
Would love to hear Lena talk about it and share her opinion.
And Jerry Craft comes to the Book Fest just about every year. I think every year that I've been here.
Yay!
And he'll be here this year.
Oh,
which I guess
sorry. I know you want to talk about the book, and we just keep talking about it. But
I'm so sorry.
Go wild, Lena.
Go, Lena.
It's about a seventh grader named Jordan who goes to this, like, fancy, prestigious school that his parents want him to go to, even though he wants to go to, like, an art school because he loves drawing, just like me.
Yay.
And just like Jerry Craft.
Yeah.
Just like me, too.
This is a graphic novel. I don't know if we mentioned that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We didn't mention that. Oh, whoops. So, it's, like, about how he goes to school and he meets, like, these kids who are, like, very nice. And he signs up for, like, I don't know how to explain this at all.
Read the back. Maybe.
Have you read all of it yet?
I have read it before, but, like, I've read all of it, but I just like rereading books. And so I can't read the back because
they put
that all the time. Oh my god.
I would never do that to you.
People at the school library, it has a great selection of books, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But they always put their little barcode or their little Hudson ID thing right over like the center of the description. Let me see. Maybe I can decipher it.
And
I've had skills.
An exact reading from it says 7th grader Jordan loves nothing more than D cartoons
drawing,
about his life.
Yeah.
Drawing cartoons.
I believe hold on. Let's see.
Okay.
Let's see if my expertise of spending a lifetime in a school that does this to all their books can allow me to decipher this back cover. Okay, 7th grader Jordan. Oh, look at that. I draw some
lines. Wow.
Look at Emily go. Thank you.
Thank you.
A graphic novel about starting over at a new school where diversity is low and the struggle to fit in is real. 7th grader Jordan Banks loves nothing more than drawing cartoons about his life, but instead of sending them to the art school of his dreams, his parents enroll him in a prestigious private school known for its academics, where Jordan is one of the few kids of color in his entire grade. As he makes the daily trip from his Washington Heights apartment to the upscale Riverdale Academy Day School, Jordan soon finds himself torn between two worlds and not really fitting into either one. Can Jordan learn to navigate his new school culture while keeping his neighborhood friends and staying true to himself? That is the most concise and clear and non-stuttery way I've ever read the back of a book. Oh my god.
Excellent.
Yeah. I'm so proud of myself.
Okay,
it's
so
really
thank
good.
You to Amelia and Emily me over here pointing at Emily.
I'm sitting here trying to decipher the fragments of words, and Emily just, like, pulls up and is like, hey, I found it.
Yeah, one fun fact about this book is that it won this year's Newbery Medal for Jerry Craft, and it is the first author of a graphic novel to win that award.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it when graphic novels win things.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty good.
It's lovely. Sorry. It was one of my favorite books I read last year.
So when I went to go grab it, like, it was in the very front, and a girl who really wanted the book just passed it. And, like, I picked it up, and it had a star that said, won the Newbery Award. And I'm like, oh, yay! And then, like, when I get back, my friend who didn't grab a book, she was like, we're just talking about that book. And I was like, oh, yay. And, like, instead of, like, a dead tone, she was like, we're just talking about the book. That's just so funny.
I've had instances of competition for a book in the library breakout before my school. I believe there were three. There was the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark trilogy. There was Welcome to Dark House, which everyone got. And then before Welcome to Dark House, I believe The Truth was a really big deal. And I ended up reading The Truth, like, a year after. It was such a big deal in my school. But yeah, we've had feuds break out over who was going to borrow a book next in our grade. It was quite entertaining.
Oh. Well, I'm over here like, I'll return it next week and you can take it.
Did you use that funny voice?
No. And then
that's
girl's
how she,
like,
talks at school.
Okay.
Borrowing books from school libraries is an experience that I don't think I will ever relive, because I remember reading the 10th and final book in Bone and realizing that I had not read any of the previous nine. So I read the 10th and final one and was content with the 10th and final one for a really long time, until I finally bought the full series, not in color, unfortunately. They lied to me. And I got to read it all, and I understood the story quite a bit better. The 10th one always still has a special spot in my heart as where I started.
Where it all began.
Where it all began.
The rest was
the
all
ending,
a flashback.
At the ending.
Wait.
I'm reading book 8 right now.
How did they lie to you?
Well, the big collection was in plastic wrap at Barnes & Noble, so I could not open it, and I bought it assuming it was in color, and it was not.
Oh,
I was
usually
very
when you buy
upset
it
when I
as individual
couldn't.
Volumes, it's in color.
Yes.
So I, too, got the black and white version and assumed it would be in color, and then I opened it, and I was like, I'm not reading this. I want the color
It
version.
Has bamboozled many a comic book fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm usually like that one person. I'm usually that one person who takes a book and goes to the store employee, or goes to someone who looks like a store employee, and I'm like, "Mister, do you know if this is in color?" And then either they're like, "No," or like, "Yes," or they're like, "I don't work here."
Well, you see,
what
like,
do I
why
look
don't
like?
You just open
a
the book.
Store and a They're like, what do I look like? A store employee? And in my mind, I'm like, yes.
In some stores, you can look like the employee. In Hot Topic, if you're wearing Hot Topic clothing, you look like an employee, unless you're me and you're 5'2" and look like a child. But I've actually had the authority to wield that cool hook thing that they use to get clothing and high things off the shelves, because the store was almost empty and it was just me and my friends, and it's the most power that I've ever had in my life.
And the Target, and the Target when you're wearing red, everyone who's wearing red there looks like a Target employee, even if they're super small. Target means red, so red must be an employee, and how am I supposed to know who
so
the
what
employee
is?
Don't wear
your
khaki and red shirts to Target.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's
Avery?
Move on to AJ's book that she brought
AJ.
With her that also has a little shiny medal on it. Although it's an honor book, it looks like, not the medal winner.
It is an honor book. It's called The Black Pearl by Scott O'Dell. Ramon could not believe what he had just found in an oyster he's brought up from an underwater cave where the Manta Diablos of monster devilfish lurks. Ramon is holding a pearl, not just any pearl, but the most fabulous gem he or anyone else has ever seen. But neither Ramon nor his father can foresee the trouble that such a pearl can bring.
No.
I love cursed gem stories.
Cursed gems.
Have any of you guys ever heard of the Hope Diamond? I saw it in the Smithsonian, and it is known for being a cursed gem. Is this a nonfiction or fiction or
It's a fiction story.
Fiction, okay.
And I literally just finished reading it today, and it is a cursed gem.
Nice.
And everyone makes up what they think that the Monte Diablo is, because only two people have seen it, him and a person who had already died. But he is telling the story, and he is the only person, besides the person who died, who has seen it. And everyone's making up their version, but he's like, that's all wrong. And then the way that he describes it, it sounds just way better than the fake ways that everyone else was saying it. Like, the way that he described it.
Can you tell us one fake way? Or does it not tell you?
It does. Let's see.
Technically, this isn't a spoiler to the book, right?
I think
it's not. It's only like a little
urban legend
bit of it.
Versions of it.
Yeah, it says, well, this is a part of him. It's like his mom was telling him, quote, she told me that he was larger than the largest ship in the harbor of La Paz. His eyes were the color of ambergris and shaped like a sickle moon, and there were seven of them. He had seven rows of teeth in his mouth, each tooth as long as my father's Toledo knife. With these teeth, he could snap my bones like sticks. Mothers of my friends also threatened them with the Monte Diablo. He was a somewhat different monster from the one my mother knew, for he had more teeth or less, or eyes shaped in a different way, or only a single eye instead of seven.
The concept of things, and I know sharks exist, but things with multiple rows of teeth has always deeply disturbed me, and I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because I have the thing about teeth, or I just don't like teeth as they are.
It's like a shark.
The fact that the concept of having more than you strictly need is very upsetting to me.
It's like, what, did you get fake teeth, or are those all
real?
But
it's like the kind of the same concept with wisdom teeth, though. It's like your body's just like, hey, would you like more teeth? And you're like, no, I don't have any room for more teeth. But your body's like, well, I'm gonna give you more teeth.
Too bad.
You're gonna get more teeth, and I don't like it at all.
Well, that's actually kind of like where old people get the advantage, because they always keep losing their teeth, so they almost end up with
not
the same amount of teeth.
Not all elderly people end up losing their teeth, but the concept of having like a pair of like dentures that will not like really rot, I'm not gonna say it's appealing to me, because I like having my teeth, but it's slightly less disconcerting than having teeth in your mouth. This is such a weird conversation. It's just me desperately trying to ramble and explain why I fear teeth. So, I do not have a book.
But
shame on me. But we have started our poetry unit in creative writing, which everyone is upset about, including me, because I was going to write a sequel to a short story that I had written right before the poetry unit started. But I'm getting the hang of it. We've started writing haikus, and there is this website we found, which is a haiku generator. And frankly, it is extremely funny if you just put the same word in it over and over. But we didn't do that. We put normal words in it. And it still came out really funny sometimes. But I don't have my haiku. I have the poem, the first poem we've written for like a grade in the class to be peer edited, mm-hmm. as we do. Would you like to read it?
Oh, you want me to read it?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Dear Eve, how did the fruit taste? Was it sweet enough to justify being cast out of paradise? Did the juice run over your lips the way Abel's blood ran out from his head, drawn from his skull by his own brother's hand? Was that serpent so persuasive, his honeyed venom sweetening the lies that led you to doom Eden? And lastly, did you think it was so wrong to desire the knowledge of God? I do not fault you. No one could resist that fruit. If he didn't wish for you to taste it, he should have placed it out of your reach. I think we have come to realize that neither you nor the serpent was at fault. God was the true temptress in your story.
Did you write this?
Yes, I did.
Very, very, very good.
Thank you.
Thought you took it from a book.
The teacher said that she enjoyed the biblical references in it, and mm-hmm. I said, cool, that was the entire poem, was a biblical reference.
Yeah.
My friend said I should rewrite the whole Bible in poetry, and I said, no, that's too long and boring. There are entire pages where they just list names for pages upon pages upon pages, and I'm not about to do that. Also, I think the Psalms are all poems, if I remember right. I think that is what the Book of Psalms basically is. I'm not sure, because I skipped through all of those things when I had to read them for confirmation class, and I didn't understand a lot of things.
For the poem, did you get to write on whatever you wanted?
Yes. It's weird, because since it is technically a college class in high school, we are given pretty much free reign to do what we want. and that was including our last unit, which was Comp and Lit. We were given pretty much free rein to analyze whatever element of a story we wanted, which was weird because I was so used to being told you have to analyze a symbol, or you have to analyze a theme, or you have to analyze how this theme, the specific theme, is played out. So when she said pretty much write about any theme and how the author like portrays it, but you can write about any theme you want, especially with The Handmaid's Tale, where there were so many themes to choose from, I was like, oh, what do I do with all this freedom? And it's the same thing with creative writing, where I'm used to being given a very specific prompt. And we are still given prompts, but we can go pretty far with it and have it still be the prompt and have it still be acceptable work. And she never censors us, which makes it interesting. But it makes it interesting. But it is also, I kind of appreciate, because you gave us all these dark books to read in Comp and Lit. Did you think we weren't going to write dark stuff when you gave us a creative writing class? You conditioned us to be this way, and we've told her that, like, as a joke. She says she hasn't, but I think she has. But yeah, it's basically that kind of thing. And we are, basically, when we're told to write a microfiction or a poem, she's like, write about whatever you want, as long as, you know, it qualifies as a microfiction or a poem.
Cool.
So we're given very free rein, and it comes up with all sorts of diverse, like, work in our class.
Awesome. I have a book I can talk about. So this weekend I read Mercy Suarez Changes Gears by Meg Medina, who I know that Amelia has read
Meg
before.
Medina.
And this is a middle grade book. It's about a sixth grader named Mercy Suarez who goes to a private school. She and her brother are scholarship students there, so sometimes don't fit the higher class level of many of their classmates. But sixth grade is turning out to be even more challenging when she gets paired up with a young man who's new to school named Michael Park, and she is his sunshine buddy, which means she's supposed to like be his friend as he's getting settled into school. And she gets along well with him, but unfortunately one of the other girls in school, Edna Santos, has set her sight on him. And all of a sudden in sixth grade, they're like, I want to be his girlfriend. Like, he likes me. He doesn't like you. And it gets kind of a little catty. So that creates some tension. Not the good kind of cat.
It's not my cat. My cat is the best kind of cat.
So that adds some tension in school. And there's some unfortunate events and some bullying that happens. And then there's also some changes going on at home. She lives with her grandparents and her parents and her brother, and her grandfather, who she's been very close with, is starting to act strangely and forget things and have some struggles, and nobody is really willing or able to talk with her or considering talking with her about what's going on with him. And so she's feeling some loss in that relationship as well, and some worries. So I kind of liked that it had a mix of school life and home life in a nice balanced way that was pretty relatable, even if I haven't had the exact same experiences as her.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I feel like they often don't talk about enough relationships with grandparents in
seems
a lot
like
of middle
Meg
grade
Medina's
fiction.
Work tends to have a theme of a balance between like work and school, mm-hmm. or home and school life.
Yeah.
That I'm actually happy that it has like something going on with like home and school, because like a girl is being really rude to me and she says, give me your pencil, and it's just so she can erase something. And I'm like, no. And she said to me, this is why no one likes you. And I'm like, I can list plenty of people who like me. Emily, Amelia, AJ, my mom, my dad, my sister, my brother, Keely, Juliana, Nevaeh. Oh, that's 10 people.
Like
it's
idea.
At least more than
I
your
just
people
like
who
like
you.
I just like the idea of like, that she just takes your pencil and erases something.
Yeah. And
you see, this is why I have too many writing utensils, because if someone asks me for something, I have to be ready. I'm always scared that they're going to think my pen is too nice and they're going to take it, and it's not because that's something I've done before, but, you know.
You should get a little chain to connect you to
your
pen.
It would be karma if it did happen, because I have done that before. I have taken people's pens because I thought they were nice, and if they forget to take it, I'm like, well, I guess this is mine now, this nice. If it writes smooth, you know, smooth writing pens are hard to come by sometimes. If you find that perfect pen, I don't even want to use it sometimes because it writes so smoothly. I don't want it to run out. I'm like, oh, it's so nice.
Who knew office and classroom supplies
so
could cause such scandal?
Forever, like in a plastic bag.
Like in a plastic bag, I'm just like, this pen has the best.
Are you going to freeze it?
Yes, I freeze it and I keep it as a specimen until I can, like, find more. It's basically what I do with my G2 pens. I have to make sure I get the right ones. I always keep one out of the package and I have to go to the, like, Staples and I'm like, okay, it looks like this. It has this certain amount of ink in it. Ah, there's the package, and then I can, like, I can keep it consistent. This is what being an AP student is like, and it's awful, but yes, I've become addicted to G2 pens.
This is why I've trained myself to have really strong grip. Because, one, I want to go rock climbing, the safe kind.
With your pens?
No. No, not with my pens. You should probably put the pens down. Not with my pens.
I just like the mental image of you climbing up the rock, sticking the pens into the rock like ice picks. That was a very funny image.
I was picturing her just using her feet to get up.
When the
and,
pens,
like, holding the pens.
When the pens are that strong.
No. Like, Lena, drop the pens.
No,
hold
like,
on.
Like, I trained myself to have really strong grip because, one, I want to go rock climbing without pens.
Without
and
pens.
And, two, it's because she steals everyone's pencils.
I used to have a friend like that who would not give back my stuff, and I had to, like, fight her for it. Not physically fight her, but I did have to, like basically arm wrestle my writing utensils out of her grip. It was not fun.
Oh, no.
But you find that most people grow out of that behavior once they get into high school, and I'm so thankful for it, but I still get freaked out when someone goes to take a pencil or pen, because I'm like, you're going to give that back, right? I'm not going to have to fight you for it, right?
And also, she has millions of pens and pencils, and then she asks me, and I'm over here in my mind, like, you have millions
like
of pens and pencils, so you need to back off, or else
write, like,
I will fight you.
You should write, like, a story.
I have trained.
It's the war of the pens.
You've trained.
I have trained to pens. Fight
I'll write all over your face.
I'm imagining, like,
no,
you know,
fighting in school.
I have trained, like, to, like, fight Nevaeh because she takes my food, and the food is the most precious thing.
All I'm hearing is my own experience in school when I was your age, because I did have friends who would take my food.
Middle
and
school
pencils.
Is rough.
This is weird, and I don't appreciate these flashbacks.
And also,
but all I can imagine is, like, Duel of the Fates. I think that's that name of that Star Wars soundtrack, and just, like, Mists of Lightsabers. It's just pens, and it's very, very amusing.
All right, well, we're just about out of time.
Oh, no.
But we want to remind our listeners that it is the Winter 2020 Tower of Babel on-air pledge drive.
Tower of Babel?
Yes.
Oh, these biblical references.
Everyone do some research
while
you're...
That's what it is today.
about
the
Tower
theme.
Of Babel.
Ah.
That's your assignment for this week, Bound by Books co-hosts. But we're in the pledge drive. We're doing our part to help WGXC raise the funds needed to stay on the air. Every bit counts. We have a special goal for this pledge drive.
Yes, that goal is to add 30 more sustaining monthly supporters.
We love sustaining supporters.
We very much appreciate it.
Dear listener, would you become a sustaining supporter?
Maybe
you already are. In which
my
case,
mom
thank
would
you.
Definitely be.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
She like
to
like,
become.
Come
a,
on, remember your radio is on today. But
to become a monthly sustaining supporter, you can call 518-697-697. Yes, 518-697-7400, or you can go online at wgxc.org/donate. Any amount helps. You can adjust your amount depending on your situation if you would like to. You can also make one-time donations, as those also help if you're able to.
Yes.
Every amount helps, but we are aiming for sustaining monthly supporters.
And it's so easy to set up.
Everything
is appreciated. Or at least I found it easy to set up.
Yes.
But we can also have people help you if you give a call in. But what I like about being a sustaining supporter is that I don't have to think to myself, did I give to WGXC recently?
Oh, yes, I believe
like,
it is all
back.
Automatic.
It's all,
right?
It can be all automated so that it just comes right out of your bank account or out of your credit card each
it's
month.
Very convenient.
Very easy.
So if you like hearing our show or if you like any other shows on WGXC,
you, know
you
do.
Should donate or become a sustaining supporter to keep us on the air and help us pay all the stuff that we need to pay to continue broadcasting.
So call 518-697-7400 or go online at wgxc.org/donate.
Yay!
Thank you
Wait,
to all the supporters for
that
your
I've
support.
Been longing to say ever since the beginning. Oryx fans for organization, so we will be happy if you have a donation.
True, true. Yeah. But we also hope everyone has a great week filled with quality reading time.
Yay!
Bye!
Bye!
All right, we're now here with Jack Mabb from, you're the Columbia County Public Health Director, is that your title?
Yes, I am. Indeed.
And so can you tell us what is the latest with the COVID-19 or coronavirus?
Well, the latest that we've heard is it is now in 73 nations. By comparison, last week, Friday, it was 46. So it's spreading pretty rapidly. It's what we would call a successful virus in terms of moving around the country. We heard numbers this morning that there was 120 cases in America. Of course, 9 deaths has already been reported. So it's moving fairly quickly. We have clear instances of community acquisition. In New York, we have a gentleman in Westchester County who is in pretty serious condition. That prompted them to close schools down there. We learned earlier today that his two sons have it and a neighbor are now positive for it. So, again, that's community acquisition.
Wife, too, right?
Yes, and the wife as well. And the disturbing thing about that gentleman is that before he was diagnosed, he was taking public transportation back and forth to work. So we do have instances. We have proof that it's community acquired, and here's somebody who's on a very crowded subway or whatever.
And he also went to temple services and a bat mitzvah and a funeral, I believe, too. So you're going to run into lots of people at those
events.
Lots of
potential exposure, and the CDC has determined initially it was droplet exposure, which essentially is somebody has to cough or sneeze on you. Now they're talking about airborne, which means that, it could be just somebody who's nearby who's breathing the same air and whatever. And so it is concerning. It's not a reason to panic, to go into shift into high panic. It's a reason to be vigilant and to wash your hands, to be careful around sick people, and certainly to the advice of people who are ill, don't go to work. But that's always the advice we give folks. It's much of the community mitigation that you can do is the same stuff as you do with flu.
And so there's 6 cases overall in New York State so far, 0 in Columbia County. Are there any people that you're testing, or what is the situation in Columbia County right now?
We have not tested anybody. We don't test. The CDC, State Health Department, are going to determine if somebody's appropriate for testing. And those guidelines haven't changed anything. They look for fever, respiratory symptoms, and a travel history. Or fever, respiratory symptoms, and contact with somebody who is known to have the virus. So those things haven't changed, and we haven't had anybody. We did have a couple that traveled through northern Italy over the winter break, and they returned, and they were husband in that relationship was somewhat sick. Respiratory issues, the CDC determined that he was not somebody that should be tested. So we haven't had anybody tested in Columbia County to date. We do have one individual who just today, as of today, is voluntarily quarantining at home, who traveled through Italy, but who is non-symptomatic at this point.
And so only one person so far that is self-quarantined in Columbia County.
Yes.
And I think I read that you have been looking at sites where if people can't self-quarantine, that you can quarantine people in groups?
Well, no, so right from the beginning, going back to early January, we were told to find a location in the county where an individual who was positive, tested positive, could be isolated and quarantined. And that would only apply if the individual's home was inappropriate. Because, obviously everybody wants to be home when they're sick. And the way it's inappropriate is if the other individuals in the family, the children and the spouse, couldn't be isolated enough from that individual to pass the virus on. For instance, one bathroom, a very tiny apartment. So we were directed, and this goes back to early January, all state health departments were directed to go out and find a site in the community where we could have a bedroom that separate this individual from their family. You can imagine that's a very difficult thing to do. And we did have a number of sites that we looked at, a number of sites that we talked to, and again, all of those places did not pan out. The individuals begged off, and I think there's a certain amount of fear here involved, taking somebody ill into their home, into their building. The other option we have is that we can isolate the family. We can isolate well people. And so that would only require us to use a hotel and put people up for the time, the 14 weeks of the period that we want them to be away from that sick family member. We do have one site we're looking at as of right now that has some promise. But again, the issue here is people want to be home when they're sick. And the individuals who, up until now, who have been, who could potentially be positive, are individuals who've traveled. And so there's a certain socioeconomic level there. If you're traveling, you're spending time in China or in Italy or whatever like that. And so they're not going to want to get put up at a prison or, you know, a closed school or something like that. So it's all counties have reported difficulty with that.
So as we move forward, first, can you give me the basics? The COVID-19, is that the name, or coronavirus? It's a type of coronavirus, just like the common cold is a type of coronavirus.
Yes,
is that?
And I think that's important for people to understand. You know, coronaviruses have been around forever, and we're constantly exposed to them, and they do give us the cold. And this started out, they were using the word novel in front of it because it's new. It's a new. It's a new version of a coronavirus, and coronaviruses do change with time, and you know they do assail us, and we get sick from them. But this is brand new. It doesn't appear that you acquire an immunity after having it, and that's another thing that
so you can re-get it again.
You can get it. That's what the CDC is telling us. That's possible.
So take me through the steps. Last week I had a head cold. It was a pretty bad head cold. It only seemed to be. You know, I had congestion and some headaches, not really fever. I probably didn't have the coronavirus.
Yeah, I don't think you had the coronavirus.
So how can people tell if, because there's plenty of colds and flus going around this year, it's been a particularly bad flu year, how can you tell what the difference is?
Well, the only way you're going to tell is by testing. The symptoms of the coronavirus is pretty much identical to the flu. The critical thing for the CDC so far has been the fever. 83% of the individuals who are positive for the coronavirus have a fever, spike of fever, and they have the travel history.
I've read some anecdotal reports of people saying they had it, and they talked about sweating a lot. And we saw the Iranian prime minister or whatever was sweating, and then 2 days later he got. Is that a symptom that's not being talked about as much?
We have not really seen it as a symptom. I mean, if you have a fever,
you may well be sweating. So fever, it's just associated with the fever.
Yeah, it's associated with the fever.
So if people think for some reason that they have it, what should they do? What locally do you call Columbia Memorial? Do you go to urgent care? What is the best practice?
Well, if you have a provider, then I would certainly contact your provider. Columbia Memorial, the testing for it requires a swab from, you know, the lower part of the respiratory system. So this is not at this point, this is not something that can be tested for at the health department nor in a typical provider's office. You would end up at the hospital to be tested. What the hospital is looking for, the hospital has a protocol in place. They have negative pressure rooms that people end up in if there's a suspect case. They should call us. If someone thinks that they meet the criteria, they have a travel history.
You should call the
health department.
And what's the number to call?
828-3358. And they should call the health department because the hospital wants to know ahead of time if somebody's coming in. And the best way for that to happen is for us to coordinate it.
And has the hospital started doing tests yet here in Columbia County?
The hospital hasn't tested anyone as of yet. And again, what we don't know is it's a little unclear at this point. We did have our vice president say last night that anybody who wants to be tested should be tested. At the same time, there's still this criteria from the CDC that holds sway over everything, and that is you have a fever and a travel history. They've obviously expanded it beyond China to cover. Some of the other countries that is endemic in now, but nonetheless, you have to get approval to get tested, and that could very well change in the next couple of days.
The governor is saying they're trying to get up to 1,000 tests a day, and so far they've been getting like under 100 tests a day in the state, I think, right?
Right, and I think it's because they're still using the protocol, fever and a travel history, or contact with someone who's already positive.
So the state has the ability to do more tests, but the standards right now are not to do so many tests.
Not to do so many tests, correct. And I think that what I listened to the governor's press conference, and he said, I would like to be able to do up to 1,000, and I think that he certainly wants to test everybody who thinks that they're appropriate to be tested and everybody who meets the criteria.
Is it already a problem, or are you concerned that it's going to be a problem in the future that more people are going to want tests and think they're sick and you're going to be kind of overwhelmed with requests that aren't really that pertinent?
Well, there's been a tick up for us in terms of people calling saying, should I be tested for this? I traveled or I didn't travel. We had a gentleman yesterday who said I spent 2 weeks in the Bronx. Well, that's not a foreign country that we're worried about right now, but he nonetheless had a pretty heavy cold